Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United and Rotherham played out a highly entertaining 3-3 draw at London Road today. Posh took the lead through a James Dornelly tap-in after a good low cross from Kwame Poku. The game looked like it was getting away from Posh after that, after three first-half goals from Rotherham, courtesy of Nombe, Wilkes, and the returning Johnson Clark-Harris. But Posh came out firing in the second half, with two-headed goals, one own goal from Rafferty, or was it Ricky, and one from Manny Fernandez before the 55th minute. And the boys in blue were excellent all throughout the second half. And actually, the fans were disappointed to leave without the win in the end. Today, I'm joined by Dell, Lods and Max. Hope we're all doing well. Before we get into Rotherham, let's have a very brief debrief from Dell, please, on the Stevenage Bristol Street Motors game from Tuesday night.
Very quick debrief. It was fucking wet. It was damp. It was cold. We won the game 2-0. Can't moan. It was what it was. It was, I actually thought it weren't bad refereeing, to be fair, for that decision that went on. The game itself was a bit meh, nothing too special, but we won. From the referee's point of view, it got really, really wet. Fucking really wet, if anybody saw it on TV. But surprisingly, the ball was rolling when I was rolling it. But the problem was, is when you threw it in the air, it wasn't bouncing. So, you know, that's why the referees obviously wanted to give it a bit of a chance. To be fair, the ground staff and Melts, whatever, they sort of started pricking it, if that's what you call it, with the old forks and got the game going. Is what it is. You know, at least it got finished and at least we ain't got to have a replay. 3 points, pretty much guaranteed into the next round. So, we go to Crystal Palace, which is, they come to us, don't they? And, have a bit of an enjoyment game. But I don't think it's really too much to talk about, if I'm totally honest. It was a game, we scored two goals. Yeah.
Nice. There is a good summary of that game and the conditions. Right. Lods, talk to me about your feelings about the Rotherham game today.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think it probably went exactly how you'd have expected it to have gone with a Ferguson versus Steve Evans game. I think we finished the first half of 83% possession or something stupid like that. So it is just typical Posh that we also finished the first half 3-1 down. One thing that wasn't typical Posh though was two corners. So that's great to see, especially against a physical side like Rotherham. But it is a tale of not being able to finish or not be able to create chances even in this game. Rotherham are very compact, obviously just let us have the ball. Our ball playing today was great. So that's the positives. We didn't make many mistakes at all playing from the back. Which we obviously have done for the first few games of the season. It's just that final ball needed against a team playing compact like that. And then from the other point of view, something that really worries me, how have a team with 18% possession in the first half or whatever it was managed to score three goals? Because that is a really, really big worry. How bad are we defensively to concede three to a team with that low of possession? If there is a team that's going to evenly match us with their possession, they're going to score goals. We did get told at the start of the season that was going to be the case. We were going to concede loads, but we're also going to score loads. So there's positives and there's negatives. Would I have taken a draw before the game? Probably. Am I disappointed with the result now the game's been played out? Probably as well. I said a few weeks ago, we were waiting for a game where we felt unlucky not to have won. And I think today might have been the first time that that is the case.
Yeah, and I completely echo Lods entirely. I would have taken a draw to start with. No Collins, no Kipriano. You know, I just presumed it's going to be a challenging game. I thought we'd get a little bit overrun in the midfield, and I don't think we did. I thought Ronda Havland and O'Brien Brady especially did a really, really good job in holding the fort. I want to touch on Randall quickly, because obviously he's been in the limelight again after the whole Ferguson thing. And I just wanted to say that Randall's problem playing when he plays, he does everything, and I've defended Randall to the hills, and I still will die on the hill that he makes his team better. However, Randall does everything right until that final ball. That final, should I shoot? Should I pass? You know, that final area, especially when he has to shoot. And I feel that sometimes it can let us down. That turn, and I think it sums up perfectly with the turn he did literally about 10 minutes into the game. He spun Rotherham's fullback or centre-back, absolutely left him in the dust, and acres of space. He's taken three touches, let the covering centre-back get across, and then hit it into the covering centre-back. If he'd spun, taken one touch, and just hit it, it could have gone anywhere. But I don't know whether or not it's an overthinking thing. I think it's probably a confidence thing, because his confidence is knocked. However, I saw signs today of the Randall that we saw last season, the Randall that I was really impressed with last season. And I think we saw signs when he came on against Stevenage, and I think we saw signs again today. And I'm really looking forward to that.
But I just want to sort of echo a little bit of what you said about Randall. We were talking about it a little bit before we started, but obviously we weren't recording. Is with Randall, he's a very good passer of the ball. He can pass a ball, and when he's got the space, he'll find that pass. But whenever he sort of gets in front of goal, he seems to shit himself and like want to fucking smash the shit out of the ball. And with that, that's when the ball goes here, there, everywhere, moons over the fucking stand. If he like tried to pass the ball into the back of the net, like he can pass the ball to a player, I think it'd be more of an accomplished player. You know, I mean, he may score more goals. We may score more of a as a team. That's what I really wanted to say about Randall. What you know, everything else you're saying there is spot on. I just wanted to sort of add that little bit in there.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, Randall is a player that's going to change games for us. And when he can get back into that rhythm and back into that form, I think he's going to be one of our most important players. Another player that I thought played really well, especially in that second half. And I gave him a little bit of stick last week, and I said that it was a bit of a failed experiment putting him on the wing when clearly he's an out-and-out striker and that's where he wants to play. But that's Malik Mullisil. And today, I thought, second half especially, he was absolutely immaculate. A lot of it, he did everything right. Everything I've been wanting to see from him and everything we know that he could do, he did today. From his passing to his running past the man, he beat the man. He knew when to beat the man. His passes inside were so influential. He would pass to Ricky. And Ricky, by the way, just while I'm on this like sort of tangent, Ricky, by the way, his hold-up ability has got so much better. I don't know if anybody's realised that, but his ability to hold the ball up and allow the runners to run past him, it's gotten so much better. Last season, especially when we had Malik and Poku, if we had this version of Ricky that could hold the ball up better and delay the play, we would have scored so many more goals. It's so nice to see this improvement from him. And Malik read that beautifully today, especially in that second half. First half, I thought everybody was mediocre and some were poor. To walk into the dressing room at 3-1 down, I couldn't understand it. But Malik came out. I don't know what Fergie fed him at halftime, but Malik came out a completely different player. It's like something I haven't seen from him in a while. It's probably since Burton away last season was the time that I remember him playing that good. So I was really, really happy with how Malik's playing. And, you know, I'm going to say it, keep proving me wrong. Because as much as I will say, you know, look, I thought it was a failed experiment. You've definitely proved me wrong today. And if you can continue that, if he can continue that form and he can continue that presence, I think he's going to be a real player this season.
Completely with you there. Yeah, I mean, I think consistency is one of the things that we still need to try and find with all these players. I want to see Mullisil play like he did today every game for a 10-game streak. We saw that from Mason Clark and from Poku and from several others last season. I don't want to see Mothersill blowing hot and cold. He clearly reads social media, knows he must know that people are equally as complimentary and as negative about him. It is because he is inconsistent. And believe me, I think every fan will get with him and behind him when he plays like he did today consistently. He got this pod's man of the match. I gave him my personal man of the match for today. The directness is just something no one else in the squad can do, at least not in the same way that he does. Ricky can do it through pace, but he does it through really nice, deft touches when he gets it right. You know, the one where he megged there, I think it was probably centre-back because he'd already beaten the right-back and just overran it slightly, was inches away from being an amazing chance. And to his one more thing about him is his teamwork and his decision making is actually pretty good, because I think there were times last season where he'd just go ahead and try and take too many touches and shoot. He laid off to Randall. He passed it across the goal. I was impressed with his game today, absolutely. Obviously, especially in the second half. Just moving on to some players that we haven't talked about. Sparks was such an interesting one today because there's no getting around it. He was cooked for Wilkes's goal. Just awful in the build up to it with the goal coming down. With the ball coming down and the cross, which Wilkes took well, got completely turned inside out by Wilkes's touch, and obviously it just rolls into the goal from his shot. That being said, we don't get a point without him because his deliveries into the box for the two corner goals were excellent, and he had several other crosses into the box which caused problems and could have caused more problems if people were in the right positions. He was a lot further forward, felt brave enough and comfortable enough to be further forward than he has in other games, and that was great to see. It's actually a contrast to Dornelli at times on the other side, where Poku was isolated because Dornelli was sat too far back. Dornelli needed to be further forward, contrary to what Dornelli normally does, because he's usually quite happy to be further up the pitch. So Sparks want to see that defensive side coming in now when he's in that position and remaining to just not be afraid to be further forward when it calls for it. And to be honest, it calls for it more than I think he's been doing up till today. And also, just very briefly, credit to de Havilland for coming into a game as our fourth, maybe even fifth choice centre mid, if you were to include Sissoho in that. And he equipped himself fairly well, I thought. That was a perfectly serviceable performance against a decent and fairly, you know, direct team. And he held himself up well. Wasn't sparkling, but he did all right.
On Sparks, I don't know where we go with Sparks. And look, I think Sparks, don't get me wrong, there's a player there, but I don't know how we're going to get the best out of him. And my reasoning for that is that delivery has only just come. Like, it's taken ages for us to see this delivery that the Pompey fans were raving about, and we can now see why they're raving about it, because we look a threat now from getting the balls in the box. His defensive ability, however, and as you say, Harry, it hasn't been great. I think it's been pretty woeful throughout the whole season, and that might sound harsh, but it's now the middle. We're going into now the middle of October. You know, the season started in the middle of August, so it's been 2 months now that he's been in this squad, and he's basically started every game because Rio's injured. And I don't know when we're going to see this defensive ability improve. And I think with already the centre backs behind him, that they're growing, and you can see that they're defensively improving every game. You know, Manny Fernandez and Rollin are improving constantly at a rate of knots. Sparks seems to be that weak link. And it was very similar to Burrows last season, where especially when we went through that torrid time of just losing and drawing and picking up a couple of wins, but mainly drawing last season, where the reason why is because people would target that flank. And I think we saw that with Wilkes's goal today. Rotherham just ran down that side, and a lot of their goals came from that side today. And My main concern is when we're talking about conceding a lot of goals, I don't think we're conceding a lot down the right or through the middle. When Adjaboy came on, which I won't get into, but really annoys me. But when Adjaboy came on, they then tore our right side apart. And teams, obviously, it's a lack of depth. But I can't see when Sparks is going to improve defensively. I can't see it. Offensively, I'll give him his flowers because he's phenomenal. And without him today, I don't think we really even score. We don't score either of those goals. 100% we don't, because Randall and Poku's delivery is nowhere near his. And there was a moment where he got into a really good position inside, spun his man and tried to lob the keeper. That's something that I really enjoy watching. And his attacking ability clearly is improving. But in this team, when our defence is so poor, it's all about defence. And I really don't know. And if anybody wants to, you know, debate me on it, I'm just worried that it's going to let us down this season.
I'm not going to argue with you there, Max. And I don't really want to debate with you about defence, because our defence is really bizarre, because, you know, we've got some standout performance, but yet we're conceding goals. I've just highlighted a couple of players from my point of view. Donnelly, if I'm honest, I didn't think he was very good today. I know he got a goal, and fair play. Absolute kudos for scoring your first goal for your club. That's always a big moment, but I don't think he was great today. Just my opinion. Manny, fucking hell, Manny, you're pissing me off, man. You're making me look a mug every single week. I didn't actually realise he was made captain today. You know, that is how far the boys come from me saying he ain't going to be starting a game, he's not a footballer, to like scoring three goals already this season, you know, being like one of our most consistent players of the season so far, being one of our better players of the season. And, mate, fair play, keep it going, keep making me look fucking stupid. That's fine, you carry on. So I thought he played really, really well today. Wallin, I thought was steady. Nothing spectacular, but he does what he's got to do. We've already mentioned Sparks. I don't really want to elaborate too much. But a couple of standouts for me is I thought our midfield, was pretty decent today. I know we had our normal both Collins and Kipriano out, but fair play to de Havilland. I thought he was very, very good without being... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't really know, but he was very good without being flash, I suppose. He done everything he needed to do. He broke up play. I thought he was very, very good. And also, Brian O'Brady. Have I got his name right this time? Fucking hell, it's only taken me like 2 months. I like him. I said at the beginning when, got injured? Sosa got injured and he'd come on and played. I said, I'm not bothered about him playing because I think we got lucky. With Sosa getting injured and him coming in, because he looks a great player. And I was really, really impressed with him again today. Both of the midfield was really, really good. Just moving on to my last player, fucking hell, Malik fucking Mothersill. This is what it's all about. You know, seriously, again, you're making me look silly, because at the start of the season, I said Malik Mothersill was going to be the player of the year. I want him to do this, and this is how he's going to be. And I've had to slate him and slate him and slate him. But today, you was that close to getting a 9 out of me. And in fact, I think you are the first player that I've given an 8. I know I'm giving my scores away that will be coming out. But, you know, do you know what? Kudos to you. Fucking wanker. Well, absolutely superb. That second half was probably one of the best individual performances I've seen from anybody this season. You know, and I know I can be quite critical of whoever, and rightly so, but fair play. Your second half was superb. First half was okay. Weren't special, but it was okay. Second half was excellent. That's what we want to see week in, week out. And I think I just want to correct Harry on something. You said we scored 2 set pieces earlier. Was it not actually 3? Was not all of our goals from set pieces?
I mean, fine, it was recycled for the first goal.
It was from a set piece. Anyway, so 3 set pieces. But yeah, now, do you know what? And also, the stat is that we have scored more goals than anybody else in League One. Superb. The other stat is we've conceded more goals than anybody else in League One. not too much superb, but the fact is there's always going to be goals. And when you go to football, you want to see players giving their all, whether they win, lose or draw, and you want to see goals. You can't fucking say there's never goals at Peterborough United. So as good as some of the defence have been, keep conceding as long as we keep scoring more or the same. I'm happy with that. I enjoyed today's game, apart from about 10, 15 minutes when we just switched off, like I think it was Max or Lod said earlier. We sort of like, once we concede, we look a little bit, oh, shit ourselves. But apart from that 10, 15 minutes, I thought we was very, very good today. I thoroughly enjoyed the game. And, yeah, bring on Saturday away to Wickham. Is that right? And it's a 12:30 kickoff for those that got the wrong time.
Before we move on from Rotherham chat, I feel like I need to do John some justice, who can't make the recording because he's on holiday, but he did watch the game, and to say he was a bit angry at our defending at the end of the game is probably an understatement. They do get pulled apart a lot, and I think John started to criticise the defenders, and Dale's just said that Wallins had a good game. I don't think I agree, to be honest with you. One thing that Wallin does, which I really, really dislike, is he tries to carry the ball out of defence. That's not the bit I dislike. The bit I dislike is I don't think he's ever done that and not lost the ball, which is a nightmare because there's then a massive gap behind him where we have to tactical foul or we have to scramble back and get the ball back. And I don't think that's bad defending. I think it's just the way we play that's hampering our defence. And I put it to John that if we swapped managers and Steve Evans was in charge, could he get that back four being the best defensive unit in the league? And I genuinely think it would be up there. I think it is down to the way we play. I don't think Wallin is a bad defender. I thought Manny was great again today. And even the fullbacks, if they were to sit back, I know Max was criticising Sparks' defensive abilities earlier. I think if we played a more defensive way, they would be good defenders. So I don't want to criticise the defence too much. But I do think that we are going to be pointing the fingers at them a lot this season based on the way we play and the vulnerability of them playing out from the back.
Well, next up, we have a game where you would like to think we'll do better defensively than we did last season. As Dell already mentioned, Posh head to Wickham Wanderers on Saturday for a 12:30 kickoff. We'll say it one more time. For those of us who had the displeasure of being at Wickham last season, we saw a 5-2 defeat. In my opinion, three of those goals were directly below Capic's fault, him passing out to their players under, at times, not even that much pressure. To be honest, even without those three conceded goals from Billow's mistakes, we weren't great that day anyway, at either end. And hopefully we do a little bit better at the back, regardless of what happens going forward. Max, give me your preview of the game.
Well, to say you hope that we're not going to concede a lot of goals, unfortunately, I don't see it. Wickham seem to have some sort of resurgence under their new manager, and they look really, really good. Since, obviously, we beat them at Wembley, which is big, but last season, at their place, it was horrible. Miller Capic wasn't overly brilliant. The defence wasn't overly brilliant. We weren't good attacking wise. And Wickham was a big miss because I thought where they were at the time probably was a game that we should have been winning. This season, I think it's going to be far closer than I predicted last season. They won last season, but you know, on paper, should we have lost? I don't really know. This season, I definitely think a loss probably would be on the cards. I mean, you look where Wickham is in the table. It speaks for themselves and speaks for how good their start's been, and how informed they are. I think that's really good. And I have a little bit of a problem that I didn't bring up about the defence last time when we were speaking about Rotherham, and I can easily bring it up here. Is when we score, when we concede a goal, I feel like we have a problem that, and our heads seem to drop when we concede. And today I thought was a prime example of that. It was just really, really, really poor today to see the heads drop. And we saw against Huddersfield, we saw against Wrexham. And my biggest worry is if we concede early against Wickham, which, let's be real, away, we have a tendency to concede early. If we concede early against Wickham, are we ever going to be able to pick our heads back up? Because Wickham seems to be a little bit of a bogey team, Posh. Apart from Wembley, they've been a bit of a bogey team. So, yeah, I think that's going to be, I think it's going to be a problem. But I think the biggest talking point that came out today was Jed Steer's performance. And that leads us into Wickham. Because we were just talking about Bill Akapic's poor performance against Wickham, and it was the game that got him dropped. I think there has been some conversation, especially within the group chat, around Jed Steer and his place in the squad. So I don't know if anybody wants to discuss it, whether they want Bill Akapic or if they want Jed Steer. Me personally, I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of Bill Akapic. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I think it depends on the way we want to play. And I think right now, Jed Steer's ability to play out is probably a strength, but I don't think Jed Steer's the best shot stopper. I think Bill Akapic is a far better shot stopper. However, playing out the back, we know for a fact, is Bill Akapic's biggest nightmare. So it's a very even flip of the coin. So I was just thinking, is there anybody that thinks Steer should be dropped? Is there anyone that thinks Bill Akapic should get it?
Yeah, half time in today's game, I had a quick flick through Twitter and there was a lot of people slating Steer. And last week in Fergie's interview, I think was it after the Stevenage game, the Cup game, might have been, he said that Bielo was close to pushing Steer for the number one spot. And for anyone that didn't know, I was running the PUFC stats account last two seasons, which unfortunately I don't have enough time to keep running. So I did have a quick look at the stats this week, and I noticed that Jed Steer has the lowest save percentage by quite some way in League One this season. So it did not surprise me one bit that Fergie said that. However, I would probably still stick with Steer based on the way that Fergie wants to play out from the back because of Bielo's vulnerability. And yeah. There was a game. I'm sure I didn't watch the Cup game midweek, and I'm sure he did okay because there was nobody really slagging him off. But I did see one clip where somebody played it back to him. It might have been Manny, and he was running backwards. He was being pressed, and he was running backwards. And it's just little things like that that we can't have our goalkeeper doing that when we're playing out from this way. When we played against Birmingham away a couple of weeks ago, we played a bit more direct and it was really good. We were really good at it. And they're the sort of games that I'd like Bielo to play in. But the ones where we're kicking the ball about around the back, like today, for example, I would still have Steer over Bielo.
I just want to jump in there quickly on the Steer Bielo scenario. I'm really not too bothered who actually goes in goal. But I just think if we was going to do a swap and pop Bielo in goal, Wickham is the ideal game for him. The reason being, in my opinion, it was Wickham last year with their fucking Bielo is shit. And I mean, I don't mean shit. He was fucking awful. I don't think I've ever seen a shitty goalkeeper performance, if you know what I mean. But it would be like sort of, you know, role reversal. He's had a shit game last year and he comes in because that's when he got dropped. He'll come back in and it could be man of the match performance. I don't know. But if there's a game that you're going to bring him back in, it would be Wickham, just to sort of put those demons and those demons, is it? Or whatever you want to call it, to bed. Just my two pence worth on that one.
Is Bielo that sort of player, though, that would see Wickham away as like his vengeance? I think he's too laid back for that. I don't think he holds grudges or like has like bogey grounds that he wants to put a good performance in to sort of like kill those demons, if you know.
Probably not, but I'm just like speaking from outside the box, you know. Fuck it, he had a shit game last year, he might have a good game this year. You know, goalkeepers are weird, as you know, they're all fucking freaks. What position you play goalkeeper, but you know what I mean? It probably won't bother him whatsoever. I mean, just from, it'll just be the irony that if he was to come back in and have a good game, compared to where it was last year, when that was what was his downfall, wasn't it? Did he really play again after the Wickham game last year? I think he did. That's all I'm saying.
I think a lot of our fan base, and I'm starting to think maybe Darren Ferguson included, has realised that his aspirations of that automatic finish is sort of out of our grasp now. And it's still early doors. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but I think it's very unlikely, considering how new this squad is and although it might be talented, we're having a really big problem gelling together and injuries. Now, there's got to be a point in this season where we experiment. And I don't know whether this is the right time to do that. I don't know whether Wickham Way, when aspirations for being up there is still on. However, I don't see why Bilicapic this season cannot have a run of games at number one. But I don't think we're going to get that until Fergie has admitted that really all we can get is that sixth place spot or that fifth place spot. And I think we're going to keep Jed Steer in the goal until then. However, I would really, really, really like to see Bilicapic play. And I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know whether that's going to be at Wickham. I don't know whether that's going to be in the near future, or I don't know if it's going to be with it, whether it's going to be the last five games of the season when we really know where we're looking at. But I would really like to see Bilicapic start. And I think a lot of other people would like to see Bilicapic start. I just don't know, like Lod said, if this is the right occasion for it. But Steer's save percentage is really poor. And although he can play out the back, I just seriously do whatever drills you can to get Bilo's passing better. I don't know how you make it better. I don't know if it's something that he can pick up. I don't know if it's something he can learn. He's a very young goalkeeper. But if he could play out the back, he'd be perfect, because I think his shot stopping is really good. And I think he saves a few of the goals that we conceded today. One, at least, he'd save today, especially the one where Wilkes has driven it low all the way in. I really thought Bilicapic should save that today.
I completely agree on that last point. I think Bilo saves that. I'm getting more frustrated with Steer's performances. And I think it's completely reasonable when a keeper doesn't perform that well. It's not that he's been bad every game. He certainly hasn't. I think no one's blaming Steer for the Birmingham gold. But at the same time, there's moments in every game, it seems like, and today there was a few of them, I think, where you're kind of huffing and sighing at Steer because of his ability to save. And we don't have that with Bilo, or we very, very rarely last season had any problem with Bilo being able to save shots. And there was plenty of unbelievable saves from Bilo last season, particularly in the early games in the year. I'm thinking Reading away in literally the first game of the season. I'm thinking Barnsley away three games in. He's a cat when he's on form. I want to see him start against Wickham. I'm echoing what Del said. I think the word that I would use is poetic, that he could come back in at the ground where he was absolutely honking last year and he lost his place because of his performance that day. He's already shown that ball at his feet is this season. I mean, he's shown that he still can't do it. He didn't do it at Oxford in the League Cup, and we conceded because of him then. But I still want to stand by him because he can save incredibly well, and that should be the fundamental for a keeper. So why don't we, if we're going to start Bilo, and I hope we do, let's play a bit more direct against Wickham. And we may need to against a team that I think if we try and play out the back like we did last year, the same thing's going to happen, whether it's Steer or not. Whether it's Bilo or not, whether it's Bilo or Steer. Either way, playing out the back, I think, is going to be an issue against Wickham, who clearly are savvy to it.
One thing we've not mentioned with Steer versus Bilo is the experience between the two as well. Ferguson always likes to bring in experienced goalkeepers, and I think Jed Steer is supposed to tick that box for him. But if I'm going to be brutal, I don't see it on the pitch. He's experienced at playing out from the back, yes, but I don't think his organising of the defence is what you'd expect from an ex-Premier League goalkeeper. And the one thing that annoys me with defending corners is he doesn't seem to organise the defenders around him to deal with the threats. So the one we conceded today, Dornelli was marking Johnson Clark-Harris, which is just a complete mismatch for a start. Someone was marking Jed Steer themselves, and normally as a goalkeeper, you would get another defender to mark them to try and give yourself some space, but he didn't do that. So he was being wrestled before the ball was even kicked. And I know that the corner was scored not directly from the cross, but there was a bit of a goal mouth scramble, but he did not look in control of that situation at any point. And I think the ball went at him at one point and he was sort of, his stance wasn't good enough for him to catch the ball. So it sort of just parried off of his hand and went straight back in front of him. And I think that's the reason we conceded. I'd like to see him, if he is going to carry on playing games, I'd like to see him just be a bit more vocal, especially from defending set pieces with his organisation.
Yeah, and I think people forget how good Bilicapic was before he picked up that injury. I mean, bearing in mind, we wouldn't even have Jed Steer if Bila hadn't had that injury, because Bilicapic was in the running for a Golden Glove, and people don't realise that. Yes, you could say it's about the defence in front of him, but people don't realise how good Bilicapic actually was. And as Harry said then, as Harry said there, he is extremely good when he's on form. And he wouldn't have had 10 clean sheets by December. I think that's right. He wouldn't have had 10 clean sheets by December and be leading the Golden Glove race if he wasn't good. And people have to remember that for his mistakes, he's extremely good at keeping the ball out of the net. And yes, mistakes will lead to goals and his confidence is at a low. But are we just going to let that confidence sit there and fester? I don't think so. I think he deserves a chance. And we gave Jed Steer a chance last season, and he came in and he helped the team massively playing out the back. I'm not saying he didn't, but this team is different. And I think, I don't know, I think Bino deserves that chance again. Whether that's at Wickham or whether that's next season, I don't mind. But I think to ridicule him like some fans have, I think it's unfair. And I think he deserves that opportunity again.
But just briefly, we haven't really touched on Wickham themselves. Just that there's a few new faces in there at the back, but they've still got Sadlier, who, although he played 1 minute last weekend, will probably start and score a goal against us, because that's just Kieran Sadlier down to a T. And I think McCleary, he didn't play that well in the Bristol Street Motors final, but I still think he's a hell of a winger. And they've got Coney up top as well, and he's pretty dangerous as well. I think, though, hopefully the balance will be a bit more in our favour with two much more physical centre-backs this year than last year. And they've conceded in a lot of games. I know they beat Crawley 1-0, but you go look at their records in the games they've won or drawn, they ship one or two a game most games. So going back to Max's point about us not letting our heads drop, if we concede, we should be confident that we can at least get one there. And then we're just hoping that whoever's between the sticks can actually keep the number that go in our net down to hopefully zero, but no more than one. And I think we can get out of there with a lot better result if we do.
Yeah, I think we've spoken quite a bit about the goalkeepers. But for me, as far as the game goes, and, you know, who do we pick? Who starts here? Who starts there? You know, I'm not sure what players are due back from injury, suspensions, etc. I think you've got Archie Collins definitely coming back. I can't remember who is due back. But 100%, I would start the same lineup, you know, because I think they deserved to have another crack, because, as I say, that second half performance today was superb. There's no reason why they can't do the same on Saturday, you know, from the start. If we can, I think we'd win the game quite comfortably. And I'm trying to keep being positive, because I did generally enjoy that second half. You know, we pressured them, and I think we could do the same at Wickham, because Wickham are just that wanky team that I really don't like. I don't know why. They're not a horrible team. They're not a dirty team. They're just a shit team that I've never, ever really, really got my head around. And, you know, even when I was non-league and all this. And, yeah, we just need to beat them every now and again. I know we beat them at Wembley, but we need to beat them at their place, because I can't actually remember the last time we did, if I'm honest. So stick with the same team. I don't think we'll go too far wrong, but they've got to have the same mindset of the second half, not the first half. The second half mindset is like, we're going to win this game. And we did. We won it 2-0. They can do the same on Saturday. Go out from the start, you know, press, attack. Don't be scared of the fucking opposition. Be confident in what we can do. And, yeah, I think we'll do all right. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Wickham. I don't really have much more to say on the lineup, the formation, apart from I really want us to win. We are going to win. I hope we get a good car parking space. And don't forget, again, for the third time, it's 12:30 kickoff. And then there we go.
Thank you, Dale. I'm sure, surely no one will be showing up in the Chilterns at 1:30 p.m. looking for a space ready for the 3 p.m. kickoff after we've made it so clear. Because, of course, the entire Posh fan base listens to this podcast and they will now be very well informed. Before we come to score predictions, on the Thursday just gone, it was World Mental Health Day, and Peterborough United put out a video in support of that. And I'd just like to come to Max to talk about the content that the club put out.
Yeah, and I'll keep it as brief as possible, but I think everybody at the club, especially the four players and the content team, deserve massive plaudits for the video. Mental health is a massive issue that occurs, especially is a prevalent problem in my generation specifically, but more so across a broader spectrum of people. And, you know, a lot of people die to suicide. I think it's one every 90 minutes or something ridiculous like that somebody's to commit suicide, and to spread awareness like that with players that you know I idolize and people at the club idolize was really important, especially to me, who has struggled with mental health problems throughout my life. And I just wanted to mention one player who I thought was ridiculously brave. And that player is Will Blackmore. I really couldn't believe how his story sort of, you know, his story and how brave he was to fight back and to deal with what he's done and to talk about it so freely and so openly was such a plaudit to him. And I thought, really, it touched me, and I think it's touched a lot of people as well. How strong Will Blackmore has been mental health wise, and the problems that he's had, especially trying to get back into the squad. So to come on a public space and to say that into the public domain is something that shows his character. And I'm really happy that we got to share that story, and to listen to it, but. If you haven't seen the video, I would really recommend going and giving it a watch. And obviously remembering that you're never alone and it's okay not to be okay, which is the biggest message, I think, coming out of World Mental Health Day. And yeah, I just think everybody at the club deserves, and especially Will Blackmore, deserves that Ewan and Will Blackmore deserve that sort of round of applause. So I think everybody at the club and Kipriano Malik and Bilo as well for speaking about their mental health problems. It was just Will Blackmore's story. It touched me. And I think he's such a strong character to discuss that, especially online.
Thanks, Max. It's great. Right. Let's get to our score predictions for the Wickham game. Lods, I will come to you first.
I'm gonna go for 4-4. We're conceding goals, we're scoring goals. Just 4-4.
Okay. Yeah, let's come to you last. Max, let's hear you.
Well, do I predict 5-5 to 1 Lods up? I don't know. Just as Lod said, we're conceding goals, we're scoring goals. I think we're going to lose 3-2, but I really would like it if we win, I think, is a general consensus. And that's really a stupid statement, but if we were to win, then I think it would be a massive achievement, because it's never easy going there. So I think we're going to lose 3-2, but a win is something I'd really appreciate.
Okay, then just before I go into my prediction, just echoing what Max was saying about Mental Health Day. Again, you know, we've had a couple of shout-outs at the football today. People saying, oh, I really enjoy listening to you. It sort of like appeases them, gives them a bit of like something else to do, a bit of focus on. And it's good. You know, listen to the pod. I think it was Alan that come up to me and they, are you Del? If you know us, right, just come and say hello. We won't bite you. But I do want to give a shout out to another podcast that's going about is Away Day Tours. There are a couple of Welsh guys. Don't hold that against them. But what they do is they go around all different grounds and they do views and they do, you know, they just loved the football. They've been on European tours and they've just started their own podcast. They've done their first show last night. So give them a quick follow. I said I'd be nice to them, but listen to all the podcasts, because when you go out for a bit of a walk, when you've got mental health issues and you need a bit of time yourself, go out for a long walk, listen to a decent podcast. Yeah, we all laugh and joke, we take the piss out of people, but you know, sometimes it's a good release. All right. But anyway, going back to my scores, I ain't going to go to a draw. I'm going to go 4-2. 4-2. And I'm also going to say that Manny is going to score another goal. And you know what? Malik is going to have a penalty. Fucking hell, those odds will be pretty good. So yeah, 4-2. Manny, Malik, enjoy the game. 12:30.
Thanks, Dal. I'm umming and ahhing about this one. As I say, I actually think Bilo will be in goal. And by virtue of that, I think there's a chance that there'll be a mistake, even though I want him to come in. So I'm going to give at least one goal to Wickham. I'm going to go with 2-1, Posh. I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good about us burying the hatchet, clearing the ghosts of Wickham past. A bit like we did against Exeter, right? When was the last time we beat Exeter at St James's? It was 30 years ago or something? I'm sure someone can remind me. Whenever we last beat Wickham, it's about to become October 2024. So I am going with 2-1, Posh, and a Bilo error. Right, I think we're there. And 12:30 kickoff, just for four times. It's just funny to say. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we will catch you on the next one. Up the Posh.
12:30 kickoff. Don't forget, 12:30 kickoff.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Dale, before you go, I really like your beanie.
Thank you very much.